fresh for breakfast. This is a Jess and Tommy podcast.
The GB's hit 96.9. Can we be friends? Get up with Jess and Tommy. Doing it for Harvey Norman Furniture and Bedding, your furniture and bedding specialists.
Good morning, team, and happy R&B Friday. Thanks for getting up with us.
Feeling very R&B.
Very good to hear. I'm feeling nervous.
What for?
You know that tomorrow night we've got a big event. It's a radio awards night.
Yes.
And I've done something, Tommy.
Oh, no.
A fake tanned.
Is that why you're wearing a long sleeve top and pants?
Me legs. Oh. Just me legs. I'm wearing a long sleeve dress, so I thought I'll just do me legs. But I'm wearing leggings. You can't see it.
Okay.
But I've just never done it before. It's one of those gradual build up ones. And I'm already just like, should I have just paid a professional?
Yeah, you should have.
I should have. Why?
Just a spray tan. It's so easy for them to do.
I know. I had an impulse decision yesterday, and I usually don't do anything on impulse when it comes to fashion or skincare or anything like that. Usually quite measured and I research.
You've probably learnt this from me because you know how I notoriously will shave before an event and then I get too close and then I have to shave my whole face when I only wanted to trim a little bit. Or
don't touch your beard. Your beard is looking spot on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have tried to shave my head before an event and my clippers have recently turned on me and like literally cut up the back of my head the day before
yeah,
an event.
I've got a case of the Tommy Cashes just doing these wild beauty things. Too close to the event, I'm nervous if it's going to turn out weird.
It'd be pretty funny.
I might have to go buy some pants as a backup just in case for the event.
But with fake tan, couldn't you just like rub it all off?
I think so, but I've heard stories of girls going really hard exfoliating and then they're just red raw.
Oh, no.
I think I'd rather bad fake tan than red raw legs.
Well, if worse comes to worse, you could just go get a spray tan over the top of the bad fake tan already.
Yeah, just keep building. Yeah, that's great advice.
You just came back from a trip to the Caribbean.
Yeah, sure.
Caribbean or Caribbean?
I like Caribbean.
Yeah, it sounds more fun.
It does, doesn't it?
Coming up next, I want to have a chat about The Bachelorette last night. Sophie did something that's never been done before.
Such a good episode. But before we get to that, one of our headliners for R&B Fridays Live, Khalees. This is Milkshake kicking off your R&B Friday on the GV's Hit 96.9. My milkshake brings
all the boys to the yard. Jess and Tommy's In Case You Missed It.
So generally the In Case You Missed It segment is where I find something, you know, funny and weird that's happened in the world of news overnight. But every couple of weeks I like to give Jess the platform to talk about The Bachelorette.
Yes.
Now that was on last night.
I do appreciate it, Tommy. Yes, Wednesday, Thursday this week. We're down to the pointy end. Only 5 lads remaining.
Is it fair to say that this season of The Bachelorette has gone much faster than the last season of The Bachelor?
I said the same thing. Sophie culled 2 people yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't remember this late in the season culling 2 in one go.
Who was The Bachelor last year?
Maddie J.
Oh, yeah, Maddie J.
Maddie J was the last.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
Georgia Love,
yeah.
Then Sam Wood. How long do we have, Tommy?
Yeah, no,
we've only got about 2 minutes to talk about this. But yes, what an incredible, incredible episode. I love Sophie. Every episode we find another reason to stick a badass sticker onto her chest.
I watched the first kind of half an hour of last night's episode when she went on the single date with Apollo.
Apollo, the 24-year-old magician. He has stolen Australia's heart.
He's actually so lovely. He seems like like last night was one of the only episodes I watched and he was kind of the only person that I got to know. He seems like a lovely, just a nice guy.
He's a genuine, down-to-earth, caring, like name a good adjective and he has it on his resume.
The only thing that's going to upset me is if the producers have made us all like Apollo and fall in love with Apollo when really Sophie's got great banter with someone else,
yep.
But they're not showing us that, and then yep. They're just setting Apollo up to be the next Bachelor.
Well, this is what we were talking about last night, my housemates and I, Tommy. Apollo, he's not going to win. Let's put it straight out there. Sophie is 37. Apollo is 24. She came into this wanting a man who wants to settle down, have a family, who's going to take care of her and her kids, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a strong, independent woman, but, you know, that kind of family time.
Of course.
And Apollo has said he wants to settle down and he's ready, but he's 24.
Yeah.
And he said he's travelled the world and he's done everything with his magic and that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, he's still very young.
Yeah, he is.
He's still very young. And I think Sophie has her doubts about his seriousness in that regard. Not discounting what a great guy he is and what great banter they have, but he's not going to win.
So
and being 24, I don't think he'd be The Bachelor. He's too young. He's too young. All the bachelors have been late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, because then I guess if he's 24...
They're going to get, what, 18-year-olds on? No one's going to watch that.
No one's going to watch a show with 22-year-old girls.
Exactly.
So who's the favourite for the Bachelorette, do you
think? Stu, one of the intruders.
Yep.
He's worth $500 million. His family owns pubs. He's a publican.
He knew Sophie before he came in.
Yeah, they've met, but really quickly before we run out of time, Sophie kicked off Sam, the douchebag with the man bun. Oh, God, it was the most glorious TV moment.
As I said, I only watched the last few episodes, the first half an hour of the episode. And he was like, yeah, it's down to the top four and I'm definitely in it.
I'm definitely the front runner. I've got...
Such
a flog, but oh God, I love Sophie. She did the right thing. Go Apollo, but yeah, for an early tip, we think Stu wins.
Stu, okay.
Stu.
Jess and Tommy. Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
And on 13, 12, 16, how cheap are you? Are you doing something and even you can recognise, geez, that's real cheap? Share it with us today on 13, 12, 16. We'll hook you up with a double pass to the Cobram Baruga Oktoberfest because let's be real, you're too cheap to pay for them.
<That's>
See how I tied all that in nicely, Tommy?
That's very good.
This comes after a personal story. At a home, my boyfriend. Now, I've known for a while, Tommy, that Brew will turn the Wi-Fi off when he leaves the house each day.
Like, as in just switches the PowerPoint off.
Correct.
So he's not paying for that electricity.
Yeah, because obviously you pay for your Wi-Fi no matter what. But yeah, it's the PowerPoint. He switches the modem off. And I always thought that was pretty funny, pretty cheap, something I would do. but the other day I realised he takes it one step further in terms of switching power off.
Mm.
He turns the microwave off every day.
Oh.
He doesn't leave the microwave plugged in.
That is so, why?
It's
unnecessary.
It's not on the bench or anything. It's in a cavity down below. So it's kind of on par with like the dishwasher.
Yeah.
So it's low. So he has to literally get down. He's 6'1", get down, stick his hand through the cavity to get to the PowerPoint at the back. So it's quite an arduous process. But
I would put it to him and you and everyone else really that's listening. I don't think turning the power off for maybe 7 hours a day of the microwave would actually save that much money in the long run.
Well, I mean, his bills are always pretty low, but he does live alone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it because he lives alone or because he's turning the modem and the microwave off?
Okay, I've got a confession of something that I do that's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I have changed my whole sleeping routine to wake up sort of an hour earlier than I need to. So I go to the gym before work and I shower at the gym every day. I don't shower at home. So I...
Saving that water bill.
Yeah, I allow myself... Thursdays is what I call water day in the house. So I allow myself to have a bath, but only on Thursdays.
Only on Thursdays. Mate, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I've got one from myself as well. So on 13, 12, 16, get in on the conversation. I add 15 to 20 minutes onto every shop I do, every supermarket shop, because I price match. So I will drive between supermarkets, take photos of the things I want, and then determine if I need to go back to the first one.
Are you
it's
serious?
A little bit annoying.
If they're far enough apart, you're wasting more money on petrol than what you're actually saving on the 30
cents. No, I think the petrol is negligible. If I can save $5 on a product, that's $5. And sometimes I have.
$5.
That's more on like cosmetics and toiletries. That's where you kind of see the sales, especially between, say, a supermarket and Chemist Warehouse or a pharmacy.
Oh, okay. So you're not saying you'll drive... Oh, I can't say any business names. You're not saying you drive from like a big supermarket to another big supermarket to price match potatoes.
Oh, look, if it's on the list, I'll do one. Because I'm not going to buy just... It'll definitely be cheaper here. You got to make sure everything is right. It is embarrassing walking back in, though. I have
you
had
win.
Some looks sometimes.
You win. That's way tighter than me or Brew. Wow.
But get involved now on 13, 12, 16. How cheap are you? What are your money-saving hacks? We've got some double passes to the Cobram Baruga Oktoberfest up for grabs. Taking your calls next.
Jess and Tommy. Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
Tommy, growing up with a younger brother, there was a lot of issues.
Okay.
There were a lot of fights, namely around the bathroom. We had to share our house's bathroom.
Age difference between you and your brother?
2 years.
Okay, cool.
He's just 2 years younger than me.
Sharing a bathroom.
Sharing a bathroom. Mm. Our parents obviously had their own ensuite, but we shared our main bathroom. And one of my biggest gripes growing up with a younger brother was the number of towels he needed to use after a shower. Not only the fact that they were left on the floor, but there was three or four after every wash.
What do I mean? He used three or four towels after a shower.
And they were all on the floor. I don't know what he was doing with them, but they were all soaking wet. So I would get private investigators in to be like, can you spy on him or interrogate him? What is he doing with these towels and how are they all soaking? One day I did get it out of him, though, that he likes to dry outside of the shower, which most people do. People don't really dry off while they're still standing in the square.
Yeah.
He would come out and the floor would just get really wet. And instead of leaving the floor wet, which he thought was being courteous, he would lay the towels down to sop up the water. But I'm like, but you moron, stand on the bath mat. How is it getting all across the bathroom floor? And yesterday I was on Facebook and Love Island, which is a show coming to Australian TV soon, but it's currently in the UK.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like life after Love Island, a couple having some issues once they've moved in together, and it rang a little close to home.
We do need to work on your home skills.
What, like?
Just like the wet towels on the floor and not putting cups away. You're actually driving me insane.
The thing is, like, if there wasn't such a space between the towel rail and the shower, I wouldn't leave trails of water getting my towel.
It's like being in the Sea Life Centre. Just get in the shower and then stand on the mat and then put your towel back on the hook. It's not difficult.
All right, okay, well, I think I've got an idea.
Go on then.
I think we lay towels out to the towel rail.
No.
And then when I get out of the shower, we don't get the floor wet.
And who's washing those towels?
I don't know how to work the washing machine.
No, you don't.
I literally was like, oh my God, it's not just my brother. Morons around the world are doing
it. But why isn't he standing on the bath mat?
What does he mean how far the towel rail is from the shower?
Oh, I get that.
It can't be that far.
But it might just be across the other side of the bathroom, which may be three or four steps.
No, people don't design... No, there's no way it's like that. People design showers and their hook or rail or rack within arm's distance. Excuse me, I've been in your house.
There is no wall that is in arm's reach of the exit of the shower.
In my home? Absolutely it was. Absolutely it was.
How close are the walls to the shower door in your house?
What do you mean? An arm's length.
So your whole room is an arm's length?
No, it had like a little alcove for the shower.
Oh.
Because the alcove creates the wall, making the towel within arm's reach.
Well, not everyone's house is designed with alcoves. Some people have a square box bathroom and the box is in the corner where the shower is. And then the rail is on the other side of the...
No, it's not on the other side of the room.
But, yeah, my point is that's how mine was designed at my family home. But I would just get the towel off the rail and put it on the... draping over the door of the shower.
Yeah, just put it closer to you.
Holy moly.
People are doing all over the world. If you are one of these boys leaving towels on the floor, I don't think any girl does it. I'm going to put a blanket statement out there. No girl does it. Stop making bathrooms into SeaWorld. Thank you.
Jess and Tommy.
Goulburn Valley's
Hit 96.9.
Now, Spilt Milk is a festival happening in Canberra late in November, and it was set to be the first Aussie festival to offer a pill testing service. Now, Tommy, you and I have spoken about this before. The pill testing service is where punters could go anonymously in a judgment-free zone and have their drugs tested for toxicity, basically. Now, there's been a lot of people for it. I'm saying it's about education, it's about harm reduction, it's about drug safety, and our government's, you know, really old school approach to drugs is not reflective of what's going on in society, and we need to be putting in measures that are keeping our young people safe. You and I were both kind of on the same page with this one. We couldn't really get it. It just seemed to be legitimizing drug use. And, you know, yes, it's all great harm reduction and drug safety education. You're providing a service in relation to an illegal substance.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me. And some of the stats that came out of Europe where this had happened before, it was something like 60% of the people who got their drugs tested and found they weren't what they thought they were still took them. So, yeah, 60% of people threw them away. But that still means 40% of people were taking the drugs after they were told, no, this isn't actually what you think it is. They're like, well, I'll take it anyway.
Well, there's a foreign substance you obviously weren't aware of, because who the hell knows what's in these things anyway?
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's a lot. I don't know. It didn't sit well with us.
It's a murky issue, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely. But for now, anyway, it is a moot point because of some technicality with paperwork and documentation, the facility who was actually running the pill testing at Spilt Milk didn't get their stuff in on time, so they weren't a part of the planning and event permit. So they've been scrapped from the festival.
Yeah, which is, I guess, disappointing for the people that... Well, now
who
it's annoying
it,
because we're not going to find out how it actually went.
Yeah, because of a technicality with paperwork. And now there's some hearsay because the people from the pill testing company are saying, but we did get everything in on time, you know, risk assessments, insurance, stuff like that. So there's a little bit of back and forth here. I wonder if more will come out about maybe Spilt Milk went, actually, we don't want this kind of attention, or who knows what's going to come out. But yeah, there's two sides to this. And as you said, it's quite murky, but... We want to get your take on 13, 12, 16. What do you think about pill testing at festivals? Is it a good thing? Do you think, like us, it is legitimizing drug use? Or do you have another point of view that maybe we haven't thought about? Are you a parent and the idea of this at a festival is a good one? You're thinking, all right, at least my kids are going to be safe if they're not comfortable talking to me about it.
Yeah.
At least there's a service provided at these festivals where they are unsupervised, that kind
of
thing.
I just think there needs to be something else in place other than trying to test if it's safe or not, sort of, whether it's a reduction of even buying them in the first place or more education for young people about the harm of drug use. But it's just like, yeah, cool, take it. Let's just check that it's okay. So, well, that's still illegal, though?
Absolutely. So 13, 12, 16, we're taking your calls next. What are your thoughts on pill testing at festivals? I mean, after eight, your last chance to get in the draw for the long, slow brunch at the Numurkah Food Bowl Festival. But from one festival to another, we're talking about Spilt Milk Music Festival happening in Canberra late November, which was set to be the first Aussie festival to introduce pill testing, a safe, non-judgmental place where punters could go and get their drugs tested for basically levels of toxicity if there was an ingredient in there that would be potentially harmful. A snafu in documentation and paperwork means that is no longer happening. They didn't get their risk assessment and, like, insurance papers in on time.
Yeah.
So apparently it's not happening, and there's been... It's an interesting talk around this whole concept of pill testing, you know, harm reduction and drug safety and education versus you're basically opening up an avenue for people to take drugs, an illegal substance, and saying it's okay in a way.
Yeah, it's okay if you come here, test it, and let's just make sure it's all right, and then you can go off and do it.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is what they should be doing.
Yeah, Tommy, you found a stat in the UK?
Yeah, it was because pill testing has been happening in Europe for a while, and it... Off the top of my head, the stats were roughly 60% of people who got their pills tested and found there was a toxic ingredient in there would throw them away. But that still means 40% of people, after finding out, you know, there's certain ingredients in there that they didn't know, would still take it.
Yeah. On 13, 12, 16, James in Shepparton, what are your thoughts on pill testing at festivals?
I reckon it's a good idea in saying that, like, you said the 60% threw them away and the 40% took them. Well, obviously it's proven there, because that other 60%, if they hadn't have had it tested, they still would have taken it.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, you know, I'm not for the drugs and all the rest of it like that, but in a sense, it is working, I guess. I guess they want to cut it all out, sort of thing. And at the end of the day, they want to show you actually what's inside it, you know, before they do take it. And it obviously does put people on edge not to take it, because they obviously didn't think, you know, what was in it is in it, you know?
Yeah, James, what about... I just thought of this point. What about people who would never take drugs and then would think, oh, if I could get drugs and test that they're safe, maybe I might try it. And then it might open a whole door for someone who would never contemplate taking drugs, but now that they think they can do it safely, it might, you know, invite all these other people who are generally non-drug takers into the world of drugs because they think it's safe.
Well, that's a good point, but, you know, the people that don't take drugs will obviously be like, we don't want to take it, sort of thing, because of what's in it. Like, they've actually been told. I'm not too sure about the whole lot of it, but it is going to work, I reckon. He's going to cut it out a little bit.
Yeah, it's an interesting...
You're going to have those fiends that... want to keep doing it.
You said, you know, you did say, Tommy, you know, those 60% didn't, and that could be then a conversation they have with their friends, and it seeps into the community that way.
Yeah.
But you're right, is the balance then just going to even up again because new people are welcomed to this world thinking, oh, okay, this is an avenue I can play in safely. Yeah. It is an interesting one, and James, we love hearing from you. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
No drama.
Cheers, mate. Yeah. Jess and Tommy. Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
And the Numurkah Foodball Festival is on October 20, 21 and 22. That is next weekend. And we have got 4 tickets up for grabs. That's you and 3 mates to head to the long, slow brunch at the Numurkah Foodball Festival. You just have to get on air with us, 13, 12, 16.
Better than the short, fast brunch.
Absolutely. We are doing the most regurgitated radio topic of all time.
But with a little bit of a spin.
Absolutely. In keeping with the food bowl theme, we're talking about food and whether it belongs in the fridge or the pantry. So we are going to rattle off some items here, and they have caused hot debate in my family for a few years. The most recent one being, Tommy, chocolate. Does chocolate belong in the fridge or the pantry? If you've got a buy-in, 13, 12, 16, have your say. Let's get the general consensus.
I'm a chocoholic. And chocolate belongs in the pantry.
Agreed! Who is putting chocolate in the fridge? It's too hard.
What happened in your family? Talk me through it.
Oh, I happened to mention that mince slices are in my pantry. I went to the pantry and grabbed a mince slice. My mum went, the pantry? I went, yeah. She goes, why are they in the pantry? I went, because chocolate belongs in the pantry. And a whole thing erupted. My dad got involved. My brother's girlfriend. Oh, my God. Chocolate gets too hard.
They all were saying it goes in the fridge.
They were all saying fridge.
There's nothing worse than if it's come out of the fridge and you break a row of, you know, Cadbury off the block and then you try and bite it and it hurts your teeth.
Absolutely. Nah. It's like a brick. Ferrero Rochers. You want the middle of it to be almost gooey, almost a little bit melty.
Same with lint balls.
Yes. Oh, perfect example.
Thank you.
They belong in the pantry. But I was like, oh, they melt. When they don't melt, you moron. We're not in Townsville.
I'm not saying put them in the microwave. You put them in the pantry, you fool.
Yes.
Okay, what else we got? We're going off a few things. And if you have any opinion on any of the foods we're about to list, whether it belongs in the fridge or the pantry, 13, 12, 16.
Tomatoes.
I don't eat tomatoes, but I feel like they're not in the fridge at the supermarket, therefore they go in the pantry.
That is the golden rule, absolutely.
To be fair, I don't think... I want to put an asterisk here with tomatoes. I feel like it goes in the fruit bowl. But that would be the same temperature as the pantry.
Absolutely.
Still not the fridge.
Yeah, it's the pantry.
What about Glad Wrap?
Oh, this is the dumbest one. We've moved away from food straight away. Glad Wrap goes in the pantry.
No,
psycho.
It goes in the fridge.
No, it doesn't.
Glad Wrap sticks better if it's in the fridge.
No, what about butter?
Butter goes in the fridge.
Yeah, my housemate keeps it in the pantry.
Your house, Gemma?
No, Lana.
Lana from 9 News Border North East.
Lana from 9 News Border North East puts her butter in the pantry.
Whoosh. That actually melts, though.
Well, it doesn't. What do you mean? It's in a container.
Yeah, but when you get it, it would be like almost dripping.
Well, she said it's fine. She said that's how she was brought up, so maybe people out there are doing it.
Eggs?
Fridge.
I say fridge too.
Well, they're refrigerated at the supermarket. It's the supermarket rule.
Not all of them are.
Absolutely they are. They phased away from shelf eggs many years ago. They're not behind doors, but it's chilled.
Oh.
It's like where the zucchinis are.
Okay. Zucchinis?
Zucchinis.
Fridge.
Okay, let's add zucchinis to the list. And the ultimate tomato sauce.
Obviously in the pantry.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. So let's run through them, Tommy. Chocolate, tomatoes, butter, eggs, Glad Wrap, tomato sauce.
Where do they all go? We need your help. 13, 12, 16. Fridge or pantry?
Get yourself in the draw for the long, slow brunch at the Numurkah Foodball Festival. Taking your calls next. Boss Billy is away today, and we are doing one of the most hack radio topics of all time. Where does it belong? The fridge or the pantry? Now, we're not doing the traditional tomato sauce question because I know that's been hotly debated for centuries.
Yeah.
Or ever since tomato sauce was invented. This one's more around chocolate because a fight erupted in my family recently when I said I keep mint slices, the chocolate biscuits, in the pantry. And my mum freaked out, thought that was absolutely insane, and the rest of my family piled on.
Now, you can't put chocolate in the fridge because then it's too cold and hard. It's like
hard,
a rock when you go to eat it.
Chocolate is meant to be an enjoyable, easy task.
Yeah.
And if you chew too much...
I don't have to fight to eat my chocolate.
Absolutely, but a list ensued, didn't it, Tommy?
Yeah, I wanted to add Glad Wrap to the list because my mum always taught me to put Glad Wrap in the fridge because it sticks better when it's a bit colder.
Oh, that is ridiculous. But the list has grown, and Dave, on 13, 12, 16, you get to play judge, jury, and executioner. We've got chocolate, tomatoes, butter, eggs, tomato sauce we'll throw in there, and, of course, Tommy's Glad Wrap. Fridge or pantry?
Well, chocolate—that's the best one because it doesn't stay in our house long, so it's all gone. Glad Wrap cupboard, tomato sauce in the cupboard, eggs in the fridge, and I think wherever personal preferences.
Oh, okay.
Glad Wrap's in the fridge, Dave. It sticks way much. It sticks so much better.
You probably buy the good stuff, though.
No, give you the hot tip. I most certainly don't.
That's why he needs to put it in the fridge, Dave, to give it probably that extra stickiness.
Yeah, probably.
Dave, we love hearing from you. Had a buy-in on all of them. You have a great day, champ.
No, see you later.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
Jess and Tommy. Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.